Lord, to dedicate this time to you, Father, not to us, not to our will, not to our motives, Father, but just purely to you, Father. Time serving, time worshiping, time loving, giving love back to you, Father, out of this, out of our week, Father. It's the least that we can do. Father, I pray your blessings upon each and every facet of this service today. No matter the function that a person has, Father, let us do it according to your will and with your love and your blessings, Father, your anointings for that. Let it all be to glory and edify you. Let every person that walks through that door see you, Father, hear you, Father. See the smile on the face, Lord, that is joy and peace, and the only thing that you can give us that comfort in this world. Let us be you, Father. Let us shadow you today. Father, take my words and my thoughts. Let them be yours, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. So today I want to talk to you about something that he has had on my heart since last week. And I want to talk to you about not only being like Christ, but doing like Christ. So many times we concentrate on being like Christ, as in fleshly things, speaking, talking, behaving, and modeling Jesus. But we forget that we also have to do like Christ. Not so much in the fleshly things, but we have, every one of us as disciples of Christ, Christians, we have a calling. We are called to do something. We are called to be something. When he formed us in our mother's womb, he put in what we were needed to be on this earth. And some of us spend our whole life not understanding that we have purpose, but you do. You do. But I want to talk to you today, and if I could give a title to it, it would be his shadow. Be his shadow. Psalms 92 is where this message was birthed and the revelation that God gave me. It is a wonderful chapter in the Bible. It is a promise to those of God, his children, his disciples. And if you read it, you can read it all, and it talks about how he is, what he is to us, one of the facets. And I'm going to show you two, actually. I'm not going to read the whole chapter because God took me to other places that we're going to read, but I just want Psalms 92 and 1. And the King James Version reads, it's 91, chapter 91 and 1. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That is a scripture that we use a lot. You hear people talk about. I want to break it down. I want to talk to you about what God gave me to give to you, to feed you today, feed us today, because he had to feed me first so that I could bring it to you. But we're going to talk about this. And if you read it in the Message version, it says, "You who sit down in high God's presence, spend the night in Shaddai's shadow." That has significance because of the name that he uses. And I want to break this verse down, and then we're going to talk about the rest. He that dwells in the secret place. Dwelling is a place that you live, the place that you hold dear to you. It means relationship. A lot of us come to church only on Sunday mornings. That's visitation. That's not relationship. That, if that is the only time that you are spending with God, you are not a child. You're just a visitor. Dwelling. It's a place where I spend. It's a place that I make time to go to and be. It's a place where I like to live and be in the presence of God. The secret place, the Hebrew word means covering, hiding. It's a place, hiding place. It's a secrecy place. It is a shelter. If you know the meaning of shelter, it not only is it something that protects you, but it is also a place where those who are homeless go to be cared for and to have shelter. That's a sermon all by itself, but God won't let me go there. But we're going to talk about sheltering and being shadow. And Most High, in this, the Hebrew, it means the supreme. It means high and upper. It's the location of God. He is the highest. There are no other God, no other gods above him. It's El Elohim is the Hebrew for that. El means God. Anytime you hear El in the Hebrew, it's denoting God, and then usually the next word denotes a characteristic of God. He has several names. El Shaddai would be the other one we're going to talk about today. El Elohim, Elohim, E-L-Y-O-N, is the original Hebrew. It says, he is above all. So when the enemy talks to you about being nothing, remember who you belong to. El Elohim, above all. No one above him. And you in him are above and not beneath, the Bible says. It says, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So when we dwell in this place, when we have relationship with this Most High God, he is my protection. He is my shelter. He is my refuge. You know, what we do in private becomes public. What's in your heart will eventually come out of your mouth. As much as you try to keep those thoughts and those things down that aren't good in your heart, they eventually show up in one way or the other, in the way you speak or the way you act. It's easy to read somebody and watch their face. Listen to what they say. Watch their body language. I could always tell when my children were lying. My daughter had the poker face, though. She is perfectionist when it comes to that lying thing when she was little. My son, I could tell. I knew when he was lying. I could tell his body language. But that girl of mine, whoo, you've heard me say it before. I told my husband, she's got her mouth open. Chances are it's a lie. Just go ahead and just deem it a lie. She got a poker face. I could not pick up her particular tick that would give that away, her physical thing that she'd do. But I did over the years finally get it. But when she was little, I said, she's going to save her skin all the time. It's just going to be a lie. Just go ahead and admit it. So here we are. We too must realize he is above all, and we are above all. High and lifted up. He must be first and foremost, El Elohim, in our lives. And I want you to read, he shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Shadow. In the Hebrew, that is a shade. That is a defense, a protection, a shelter. A shelter. And then he uses the word Almighty here, capitalized, meaning God. But if you look in the Hebrew, it is El El Shaddai. God El Shaddai, God Shaddai, as I read in the Message version, in the presence of El Shaddai. El Shaddai is a word that come from two root words in the Hebrew, according to my research. The first one was Shaddai, S-H-A-D-D-U, which means mountain. We're again speaking to God's characters. And the word S-H-A-D, Shad, which means breast. And that speaks to two characteristics of God. He is not only your strong mountain, the protection, the refuge. He is like a mother, a nurturing, feeding, nurturing breast. He knows what your nourishment is and what you need, and he provides it. He is that provider of that nourishment. So El Shaddai has good meaning. But I want you to notice, it says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You've got to have a relationship. You've got to have that relationship with God. You've got to be part of the family. But I want to talk about shadow today. Be his shadow. In the dictionary, you read two meanings for shadow. A shadow is a dark, area or shape produced by a body coming between rays of light and a surface. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. I am the light. Follow and observe someone closely is the other meaning. And in the medical field, we have students come in, medical students come in, and they shadow the physician or the provider. So they follow this provider for how many days it's required of them. They need so many hours. They come in and they follow this provider in this particular, you know, whether it be dermatology or oncology or cardiology, and they get to know the practices and the way of this field, what this mo looks like compared to this mo or this rash looks like, and what this symptom means according to the knowledge of this physician. Shadow. God says, if you abide in my secret, if you have that relationship with me, you should be shadowing me. You should be my shadow. You should know and understand me. That's why we encourage you to read and study God's word. That is one of the ways that you shadow God. You become his shadow. It's because when you become his shadow, you become like him. The students picked up the characteristics and the knowledge of that particular provider, and they use that in their own practice once they graduate. A lot of us want to be part of church, but we don't want to put the work into shadow God, to shadow Jesus and be like him, be a disciple, as we call it. It says, if we read Psalms 91 and 1 again, let's read it with that understanding again. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So you can't just come here and say, I want to be a child of God. Forgive me for my sins. You can do that. You can do that. That's what salvation is all about. But that's being like Christ. There's a second part, doing like Christ. Be my shadow. Follow in my shadow. You hear Sister Lyons talk, I hide behind the cross. That is your protection, your wisdom, your understanding. Give me what my right is as a child of God through that cross, which is all of our rights, child of God, all of our rights. It's the sheltering. It's the shelter we're talking about. That's that shelter, that protection. But it's also the nurturing part. And a lot of us want one, but we don't want the second part. We don't want to do what's going to cause us to grow and mature. Go ahead, sister. Christ and doing Christ, doing is like Christ. It's, you know, we're going to talk about it, but you're all in my service. It says, do we see the dwelling in the Most High? Yes, that's prayer. Yes, that's worship. Yes, that's abiding in that secret place and having conversation with him. And it's the private time, the privateness of our mind. He's looking for your mind. He's wanting to dwell not only in your heart, but your mind and your soul. He's wanting us to be in Christ, to shadow him, to look and involve and become Christian as Christ was. You know, Christ learned obedience all the way up to the cross. All the way to the cross. Gethsemane was a pivotal point in his ministry. He could have walked away. He asked his disciples, he said, hey, come with me and pray. Come with me further and pray. He was requiring their encouragement and their support. as we do each other. They didn't pass the test. They slept, which was no surprise, I'm sure, to God. But it's the changing, the shadowing and becoming. We need each other. We're going to talk more about it. It's the shifts and the modes, molding into His image. It starts with the mind. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. It's a process every day. It's a process every day, becoming like Christ. But we can't do it if we don't shadow Him. You've got to get in the Word. You've got to learn. And not only do you have to learn, but you have to apply what you have learned. You have to apply it. Everything we do, everything we say, everything should reflect Him. He's my shadow. Yes, God, I want your protection. Yes, I want all the privileges that comes with that very strong mountain, El Elohim. But yes, God, I'll take El Shaddai, provider, nourisher. It's not the easy part, growing and becoming what He's called me to be. We have to conform to Him with relationship, not just visitation. Coming here on Sunday is just visitation. Unless we have relationship with Him all through the week. Although in the beginning of my marriage, I kind of thought that would have been a cool idea, just to have a husband that was here a couple days a week and gone. It was that marriage becoming one thing that was really hard. It was very hard. And I love him dearly, and he's a great man. He's a godly man. But that becoming one is hard. Same thing with becoming a Christian and becoming one with Christ. We have a process. We have to grow. We have to keep going. You know, Romans 12 and 12 talks about that. Talks about some of the things that we have to do. And I'll read these to you real quick. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, notice it's not on your own, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He's talking about giving your will over, not just your body. Not just, I'm going to quit smoking, I'm going to quit drinking, I'm going to quit running around, I'm going to quit behaving like a heathen, and I'm going to go to church, and I'm going to act like them. But I've got to do like Christ did. He learned obedience all the way to the cross. Not my will, but thine. He said, if this cup can pass, Lord, let it pass. But not my will. But yours. Do you know how hard it is to drop the dreams that you've had? The ideas that you thought were for you? Not my will, but yours. Becoming his shadow. Walking in places that you would never have walked before, nor did you ever dream that you could ever go or ever wanted to go. Places that are hurt and don't love you. But you do it every day with the grace of God, because it's His will, not mine. Becoming a shadow. Not my will. Examples of what we are supposed to be as the kingdom. You are called. Soon as you take that acceptance of His forgiveness, you are called. Don't think that you don't have a call in this earth, because you do. Child of God, it may not be up here, it may not be back here, it may not be up there teaching, but you have a call. Mark 4, Christ himself talked about what the kingdom of God was, and you are all in it. Let's read it together briefly. He teaches first a very familiar parable about the seed sower. How the seed is sown, and some fall on good ground, and some fall on rocky ground, and some the birds come and eat up, and some die in the heat. But needless to say, the seed was sown. And the second thing he talked about was the candle. The candle, you don't have a candle when you put it under something and hide it. No. You let it out for all to see. We are called to be sowers, and we are called to be candles or light. Do you remember the shadow? It only showed because there was a light. You are called to be sowers. Let's go down to verse 26. And he says, "And so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and shall sleep and rise night and day, and the seed shall spring up and grow up, and he knoweth not how." It's a day in, day out thing. It's not going to happen overnight if you've ever grown anything. It's time. It takes time. It takes time, and you're planting, and you're planting, and you're planting, and you're watering, and you're caring for, and you're making sure it gets enough light, and you're making sure it's got enough fertilizer, and you're taking care of what one little seed that you put in the ground. And what does he say? For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear. That's the way we feel sometimes, right? Do you see the process? Let me explain what God showed me. The blade. There's a couple meanings to blade. The first one is, it's what you see from a plant. It springs up, a leaf. But the second one is the flat cutting part of a sword. Child of God, what is your weapon? The word of God. He says, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. Well, let me tell you what, that sword hurts even me. When I read the word, he's cutting away all that stuff of the uncircumcised heart that I've had, and he's producing so that I can grow into something better. The blade. The blade is the word of God. And baby, you got to apply it to your life first before you start going out here speaking it to others. Although we do have call to speak in love, what we see is wrong, if the Holy Spirit so leads. So the blade, you're cutting away things. And the first you'll see, just an ear. You're giving ear to the word of God. You're starting to listen. You're starting to hear the Holy Spirit speak to you through God's word, through the messages that you hear. And before you know it, you have grown into a full corn of ear. Have you ever gone up to a corn stalk and pulled it off and opened up the corn and it's not mature? There's a couple little things at the bottom, but the rest of it's just white. Nothing there. No corn, no fruit, no grain. Some of us are stuck. We're not willing to go through that part. Actually, the ear, it says a ear is a head of grain. I put it's a head of gain. When you listen, you get a head full of knowledge. But you got to apply it to your life. Let it get into your heart. Take root. Let the word do what it's supposed to do. And then you become fully developed ear of corn. Something that someone can use that can feed others. Mark 4 and 30 is the next example of the kingdom of God, whom we are on this earth. And if you go down, it reads, "And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? He said, or what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and become greater than all the herbs and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it." Whose shadow are you? Whose shadow are you? Okay, child of God, we are to be mustard seeds. Mustard seeds are humble. They were small. They were the least of everything else. It speaks to your attitude. It speaks to you. You're not supposed to be prideful and mighty and high and think that your problems are no better than everybody else's, or, you know, better than more. They're more significant, and you, no one else is important. Religion is not, and salvation is not about everyone else. It's whosoever. And you, my friend, are just a whosoever with a calling to be a mustard seed. But you're planted. You got to grow. And when you grow up, you come big and get all these branches that shoot out. They become great, the Bible says, so that others can come along and lodge under the shadow of it. You are called to be a humble person. You are called to love. You are called to encourage. You are called to forgive. You are called to instruct and show people the way. Who your shadow is. God. Jesus. We are called to motivate. We are called to console. We are called to inspire them according to the Word of God and strengthen them according to the Word of God. That is what we are called to do. That is what Jesus said the kingdom of God is. Mark 8 and 34 through 37, and it says, "And when he had called the people, not just the disciples, the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me," whosoever, it's not just for you and your family, baby, it's for everybody. "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself." There's that being like Christ, not sinning. "Be ye holy as I am holy." That's a choice every day, not to do the things that we did in our past, to get past those, and to do the things according to the Word of God. But it says, "Whosoever will come after me will deny himself and take up his cross." That's doing God's work, his will. Putting yourself behind, nailing it to the cross, as Jesus said, and follow me. And then he goes further and he says, "For whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's," "the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" We are called not to just only be holy. We are called to do holy. Teach people. Show them by example. Be God's shadow. Sometimes you're the only person in the whole place that's even close to a salvation. And you're the only shadow of God, the only version of God that they will see. Have you studied? Have you prayed? Have you been in communication? Does what you say, do, and act, does it reflect your shadow, who he is? Matthew 28, and we talk about this often, it's the Great Commission, 18 through 20. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore." He didn't say, "Don't smoke." No. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the world." Amen. Those were the last words he said when he left. It's your commandment. It's your commission, as we call it in this faith. Are you his shadow? Do you shadow him? Let's go back to our main scripture. "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Whose shadow are you abiding under? Whose shadow are you abiding under? Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you praise, glory, and honor, and we thank you for this word today. Thank you, Lord, that we have a perfect example in Jesus Christ. But we also have a scripture, the whole Bible full of people just like us who are going through, who are having to step out in faith, who are having to endure hardship and sickness. And whatever it was, sir, whatever there was, but they endured it with you, Father, in your shadow. Thank you, Father, that you never leave us nor forsake us. That is your promise. Help us, Lord Jesus, to see and hear the Word of God, the Holy Spirit's leading, and give us the strength in times of weakness to be the shadow of God in a world that doesn't have any light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.